Fred. Thank you. All right. This is the PNB Governance Committee meeting for Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. It's 7:39 p.m. Central Time. I'm Bill Crozier, the convener of the meeting and interim chair calling the meeting to order. Eileen, are you prepared to call the roll?
I can do that. Okay. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
And Bill Crozier is here. Donald Goldmacher.
Here.
Donald? Okay, I am here. Gary Bost. Grace, Aaron?
I am here, but I can't stay for very long.
Okay, stay as long as whatever. Okay. James Sagerton. James? King Downing. Lewis Wolf. I know Lou's here. Lou?
Yes.
Michael Adler is here.
Yep.
Michael White. Michael Novick. Noni Session. Did you
here.
Say Noni or Nani? Noni, right? Noni.
Noni, yes,
okay.
Noni.
Good. Okay. Rick Potoff.
Potoff.
All right. And Venetia Patel Adams. Okay, we'll see if other people turn up. All right, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 here, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 not here.
Okay, thank you. So we have quorum. Thank you, Eileen.
Okay.
Sure. And I sent out a draft agenda earlier this afternoon. I also posted it on kpftx.org, so if anybody's listening, you can look at that. Let me just review it real briefly. One is called order, two is roll call, which we just did. Three is approve agenda, which we're about to do. Four is elect committee chair. Five is elect committee secretary. Six is approve minutes of the June 13th meeting. Seven is organization of and access to Pacifica files and documents. Eight is review governance-related problems and proposed solutions. Nine is setup of email list and maybe an online group for file sharing for the committee. 10 is new business. 11 is review action items. 12 is review next meeting date and time. And then adjourn by 10:30 p.m. Central Time. So somebody would like to move adoption of that agenda?
I so move.
Okay, it's Rick. Yeah, if everybody could say your name when you're making a motion, that'd be great. Okay, and who is that?
Michael Adler, second.
Okay, thanks, Michael. And Eileen, can you continue to take minutes at least till we get to the election of secretary? Eileen?
Sorry, I was on mute. Sure, I'll do that.
Okay, thank you, okay. So any changes to the agenda? And I have time limits in there. I didn't read those, but if you want to change any of the time limits, we can do that too. Okay. No corrections?
Right?
If there's no objection,
yeah.
Then we'll approve that agenda. Thank you.
I will not be able to remain until 8:30 p.m. I will have to hop off at 7:30.
Okay.
Noni.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Well, I'm hoping we can all finish early, but you never know. Okay. Okay. Next, I need to elect committee chair. I guess nominations are open.
This is Grace. I'd like to nominate Bill,
Grace.
If he's willing to take it.
I'm willing, but we'd be glad to entertain somebody else that wants to do it. Anybody else?
Sounds
if
good
you're
to
speaking,
me.
We can't hear you.
Sounds good to me.
Somebody want to move that? Will you like me back, Elmation?
I move that we, move to approve Bill by acclamation.
Okay, any objections? Okay, hearing none, and that's done. Thank you. So we're moving right along. Committee Secretary, nominations are open for that.
Eileen, are you willing?
No, I'm not, actually, because I'm chair of another committee, and on another committee, and committee's here. I don't think I can commit to this. It'd be great if somebody who doesn't usually take things on would take it on.
Yeah, some of you who are not already a chair or secretary of something, perhaps. Doesn't have to be a PNB member. Could be a delegate from or LSB member from one of our stations.
What's the secretary task entail?
Take minutes. Get them posted on the kpftx.org. I can show you how to do that if you don't already know how. Call the roll for votes, take votes. What else am I forgetting? That's about it. And we normally
only meet
once a month.
I don't think I'm ready to take that on. I'm too new to this.
Oh, we'd be glad to help new people so you can get up to speed.
Yeah, and the minutes don't have to be as detailed as what I sent. The only thing that really has to be in the minutes are, I guess, motions and resolutions. Is that right?
Right.
Right. Attendance, when we start and end, right? Who makes the motions?
I'll volunteer.
Aki?
Who is that?
Yeah, I done secretary before, so I'll do it.
Great. Aki.
Okay.
Aki Tanaka.
You did a great job as secretary of the PNB. Okay.
I second Aki's nomination.
Okay. Seconds are not needed for nominations, but that's fine. Any other nominations?
I forget. That's right. Yeah.
Not hearing any other nominations. Do I hear a motion to elect Aki back for nomination?
Thanks, Aki. I will send you a list of everybody.
Okay.
I need somebody to make a motion, though.
I motion that we elect Aki Tanaka as the secretary.
That's Noni?
No. Yes, Noni session.
Okay. Are there any objections? Hearing none, then Aki is our new secretary. Thank you. Okay. So we're making good time here. Moving along. Minutes for the June 17th Governance Committee meeting. Eileen set them on Monday. Any corrections or comments or questions? Okay, do I have a... Oh, I should have asked first for a motion to approve them.
No, there's a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay, Aki?
I'll second Michael Adler.
Okay, thank you. Actually, I don't need seconds in committee for anything. So,
okay.
We'll
all right. Any objections?
Right, or no corrections? Okay, so here are no corrections, and they're approved. And you're taking the minutes now then, right, Aki?
Right, yeah, I am.
Okay, and if you need the first part from me or Eileen, let me know. I think I was keeping track of who was here also, but I'm sure Eileen got it.
Oh, no, I've got the list, which I'm putting together to send.
Great. Okay, thank you. Okay, and thank you, Eileen, for doing those minutes. Number seven in the agenda is organization of and access to Pacifica files and documents. And this was a follow-up to what we started talking about last month. I think this was Eileen brought it up. Do you want to refresh everybody's memory?
Yeah.
Give us a little quick report or recommendation.
I didn't get as far on this stuff as I hoped, but I did send off to Otis. I sent off I sent off to all of you, I think, right? My proposed setup for the financials page, just to make it a little easier to handle. And also, I sent all the actual files to Otis so he could, and they're, you know, I renamed them according to the year that they actually belong with, because they're all kind of a mess and not on the right pages. So he's got that, and, you know, I hope he'll get to putting that together soon. In terms of other documents and other ideas for being able to, for us to access documents, you know, specific of people, things like not only the minutes, but also handbooks and policies and maybe financial statements over the years. Things have everything, you know, in a central repository. Otis suggested to Bill, I believe, that it might be better if we form a little working group to put together our ideas for things like protocols for file names and maybe folder structures and where to put things. Are they going to go on a physical server? Are we going to get, I don't even know if we use cloud servers at all in Pacifica, and how to control access, because we have so many people who come and go. There are some documents that are confidential, so not everybody should have access. Then there are possibly more documents that we would want to make available to the public on the Pacifica website. So that's where, you know, more people would get involved in putting in their giving us their inputs as to what they'd like to see there, and so we could see how to do it. So I'm sorry I don't have much more for anybody on that right now, but
could you tell me the name of the email subject line you sent that out in? There are just so many emails going forth.
Let's see.
Yes. From this setup
I understand. I believe I sent it. Let's see. Here it is. Oh, wait. Draft minutes. Uh-oh. You know what? I didn't send it to everybody. I just sent it to... I only sent... Oh, no, I did. I'm sorry.
Took in the minutes from last meeting.
Called... No, I'm talking about, it's called Proposal for Change in Financial Setup on Web Page.
Oh, yeah.
And I sent it on Monday at 7:06 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, I hope nobody has any big objections to it. I think it just makes sense to me, and it's tidier.
Okay. Are you done?
I just wanted to say, you know, I like this stuff, and, you know, I'm happy to work on it, and I guess Otis is too. And Bill volunteered. I don't know if anybody else is, you know, nerdy about organizing files and things and would want to join us. Otherwise, I guess the three of us could figure out what should, you know, the starting point, you know, and bring that back to y'all.
This is Michael Adler. Jump in on that too. I did a lot of that work in my previous career. So,
oh great.
The other thing I've noticed is that I don't think there's any document that says how long people need to keep files and when they can get rid of them. There's no.
Yeah, I don't know.
Schedule.
We'll have to check with. I think NETA said they were coming up with a document retention policy, which is a pretty common thing. You know, every nonprofit should have one.
It can be boilerplate for the most part.
Yeah, but we should.
And the other thing,
you're right, we need to have one.
Doing in terms of security and just having guidelines to make sure that our member lists are protected.
Okay, I don't even know who handles those. Are those handled at a central level or by each station? We could talk about that.
I think we've been moving ours over to a new customer relationship management program.
Which station are you with,
not involved
Michael?
With that, but what?
Which station? I forget which station are you with.
KPFK, Los Angeles.
Okay. Yeah, that's more than one of the issues that I know has been talked about from different stations. Is all the stations used to use MEMSIS, and most of them are trying to get away from that now.
Very curious about that too. So, but go on.
The security aspect.
Okay, so essentially, let's see, for the minutes, I guess Eileen made a motion to form a working group. And so the people who volunteered so far are Eileen and me and Michael Adler, and to work with Otis. Anybody else?
Yeah, I also did too, Aki.
Okay.
Okay.
I might take a back seat if the rest of you can do all this, though. So. All right.
Okay.
Databases, but... But
you know, my problem is I don't know. I don't have a lot of legacy information about what should be there. But with help from some people who have been around for a while, I can go through and sort of say, help you guys work on this and how to organize it and what
that would be
logically to be kept, what probably should be gotten rid of.
Yeah. Well, let's with the four of us, we can talk by email and figure out a date and time we can talk and. According with Otis, and we might be thinking about anybody else on the committee. Think about what kind of files. I guess we have two galleries. We have public information that the members should be able to find easily, and also maybe any confidential stuff that maybe just committees or staff or whatever might need. And look at the Pacifica website. The governance stuff is already on KPFTX. It's pretty much has all the governance stuff, including meeting agendas and minutes and audio and all that. But, if you go to pacifica.org and there's pull-down menus, like there's a one for financials and there's bylaws and stuff like that. So think about how we want to organize it. Who needs access? What should be public, what shouldn't? And how to make it easy to find an update. And so it's not too much work for any one person. Okay, so anybody else want to be on that committee, on the working group? I think that's probably big enough. But
yeah.
Okay, so are there any objections then to those people being on that working group? And you have the names, Aki?
Yes, I got it. I mean, Bill, Aki, Mike Adler, working with all this.
Right, okay. So any objections to doing that? Okay, hearing none, then that's approved. Anything else on this particular agenda item? Okay. And Eileen, Aki, do you want to sort of lead this or convene this working group? Send out a note to the rest of us and Otis and figure out when we want to meet by phone.
Yeah, we could do a doodle poll or something. I'll do that, I guess, week or something.
So you can convene it. Okay.
Okay,
thank you.
Great.
Okay, so moving on to the next agenda item. Number 8, review governance-related problems and propose solutions. And if you're looking at the agenda, if you look at the email version, if you didn't print it, there's a link there to a Google Doc I put up. It's public. It's also in the draft agenda I posted on KPFTX on the calendar, so if you're listening online, you can look at it too. And it as I was suggesting last month, it basically has a list of problems that bylaws-related problems that people have suggested that we need to do something about. And some people have sent proposed solutions. I didn't put those up yet, the fixes, but it basically lists the problems, what the effects are, the detrimental effects, and then what we need to do is maybe see what else we need to add, and either in problems or effects, and then we can start working towards fixes, bylaws amendments, or changes. At least that's kind of what I'm thinking. That seems to fit really in the governance committee too, of course. So any comments or suggestions? And I hope everybody's looking at that list that I sent. Just click on the link in the email if you aren't looking at that.
This is Aki. Bill, are you going to update it with fixes so that it's going to be still up there as a Google Doc then?
Yeah, that's one reason for the Google Doc, because it's easy to update it. And okay, so we can just keep adding on, hopefully not forever, but until we get to a point where we, you know, have some new bylaws perhaps, or at least amendments that need to be made. Do you want me to just read the problems for people that aren't looking at it? Will that help?
Sure. There's an
I don't think it's necessary. Yeah. Is there anyone who can't see it?
No, but I did presume that we were going to talk through them one at a time instead of fielding just does anyone have suggestions? But I can see them there.
No, that's fine. I think that's probably
good. I'd especially like to get any additional things that you want listed. You know, we may not be able to fix everything, but it helps to kind of, sometimes one solution may take care of more than one problem. Not always, but I mean, just an example. I'll just start with the first. I'm not going to go through all the whole thing unless you want, but ambiguities and contradictions in the bylaws, and the bylaws are too long. You know, they're shortening them will inherently hopefully remove conflicts and contradictions. And it can also make it easier to understand and maybe do some other things too. So, I mean, the fix for that is probably shrink them, but that's, you know, that could probably involve more major rewrites. Anyway, I'm being real brief right now.
Eileen to the staff?
Yeah, Eileen, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought we had said, did I misunderstand in the last meeting? I thought we said we were going to kind of go through them, the bylaws, somehow one by one. I'm not sure if, you know, necessarily in order, but we were just going to go through them all and, you know, have all of us work on some number of them, or I don't know, a section or two before every meeting, and then so that
I think that
we'll
was
be able to discuss them when they come they come back.
That was a suggestion I think maybe I made, but someone else noted how inefficient that might be to go through each one of them, but I don't recall what the middle ground was we reached about the nature of the review.
Well, I'm open to proposals on how you want to do this process.
Do you mean the current reviewing some of the problems and potential solutions, or do you mean the problem of the bylaws being too long?
The first. I mean, if you want to go through these, you know, one by one, or if you just want to randomly pick ones that you think we should discuss, we can concentrate on those, and or any additional ones that haven't been listed here at all.
Flexible. I would go with the group, yeah.
You would rather do which?
I said I would go with the group and potentially have people pull popcorn on things that they want to discuss, because I heard someone say that it might not be that efficient to go through them one by one today.
Okay. Well, I'll throw one out. I mean, I never shy away from, you know, something that may be controversial, but I think our boards are too big. I think our LSBs are too big. Our PNBs are too big. I've heard that from so many people.
I think that's one of our biggest problems. It makes it so hard to work when you've got 24 people on a committee, you know, or you know, like an LSB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think every single one of our boards, well, I don't know. I'm projecting my only experience is really KBFK's LSB, but in later on, you talk a little bit about the challenges with factions and, you know, I've never seen anything like this before. Just the amount of time that gets wasted between, I don't know about the other groups, but in our case, it's people who are, whose first priority is keeping the station alive, and people whose first priority is diversity, it seems. And it's just very challenging to work in that environment.
Okay. And, of course, we need both, but, yeah.
Yes, of course. I mean, that's one of the things I ran on was that we need both, and hopefully I can work with both sides of the aisle, as it were. But it's just with so many people, you're going to get some folks who are it seems if you had fewer people, there'd be less chance for heavy disruption.
Okay. Other people want to comment on this?
Grace.
Okay, Grace.
I somewhat disagree, and I've been on a number of boards, and I'm familiar with some other boards, and there's often factionalism, and it's often bitter. I've gone to a few of my local neighborhood council meetings, and it was factionalized and rancorous recently. I mean, just as a guest. But anyway, the problem is, if we shrink the boards, what will probably happen, as we know from the highest vote getters of many of our elections, is that celebrities and the people who have name recognition will get elected, and the newer people won't. So it will cause an aging out of our boards. And what happens in almost every group I've participated in is that people will, even when they are not recruited, they self-select to be part of a board. There is a high attrition rate, and often also very few people do most of the work. So when you shrink the size, so let's say only 20% of the board really significantly rolls up their sleeves and does the tedious, time-consuming work that we're all aware of, such as the work in our audit committee. And Eileen Rosen, for one, has done a Herculean amount of work in that committee. Bill Crozier's done an enormous work on the LSV, his LSV and the PNB. And there are a lot of people who just don't have the ability to spend that much time on the boards. So when you have a board of let's say 24 people, and you get only 20% who are actually able to spend the time to do the very important work that needs to be done, you're looking at only a very few people. And it's not really easy to find those people beforehand who are going to step up to the plate. And so shrinking the boards means that the very few and probably the older people will have a huge amount of work to do. And there will be fewer people to groom up to that level of responsibility. So I'm not, I understand the immediate problem of the larger boards and the fact that the meetings are difficult, but you're shrinking the pool of actual productive people who can be relied on to get things done. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you.
Can I
want to comment on this?
Yes, Nani Session, I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead, Nani.
I get what, I'm sorry, what was your name who just spoke?
Grace.
Hi, Grace. I understand Grace's point and in some respects agree with it, but it kind of, for me, links into one of the other comments that I read in the executive director's welcome and vision statement, that one of her policies that she was hoping could get implemented around hiring practices and really hiring and building boards for expertise. Because it seems like if you're talking about I see three problems linked to whether a board is larger or smaller, but more accurately, how the boards get constituted and what expertise are clarified through board selection. So, you know, you've got this problem of dysfunction, distrust, and infighting. You've got the problem potentially of boards being too large. And then, as Grace just pointed out, you've got the problem of the bulk of the weight of labor being placed on a smaller amount of people. But if we thought more carefully about, so for example, this infighting, I noticed that some of the people on at least the LSB board, I'm not sure about the PNB, are folks who may or may not have the expertise that would really fill out a balanced board. So they may resort to their own sort of uninformed opinions. That's a little bit weighted. But so I have no idea what a person knows on the inside of their head. But in terms of their ability to contribute productively to the conversation and the work and the expertise of the board, which is really supposed to be dependent, like the station is supposed to be dependent on board expertise for guidance. Some of this might be solved if we thought of a stronger selection criteria. And then I get if there's too many people running, then it's hard to read and prove their credentials. But, I mean, even the election process was like are we recorded? This is going on, like, because it's public, a public statement, right?
Yes, it's public and it's recorded, yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the wisdom of the public statement, but I have to be honest, even the election process was somewhat like a sort of like unpredictable circus in a certain kind of way. Like, you didn't know dates, you didn't know when, you didn't know where. So only the outlier really could cope with this process. Like, I'm an ED and I'm in a startup process, and I am really struggling to cope with the organization of this process. I have the greatest intentions. I have some expertise to offer. I can barely keep up with this, the emails, because there's no emailing convention. I can barely keep up with the first seating of the board. I don't know any background. Like, I'm waiting for this retreat next week that I have to, like, stop doing some of my other work for to participate in, because there's no onboarding process. So, I mean, most of these questions could be sorted by, I guess that's the point, by a greater level of organization and agreement. Like, we wouldn't necessarily need to, it doesn't even make sense to change bylaws until you can figure out really what fat there is, if you will, to cut, or what ways to streamline processes.
Okay, thank you, Noni. Other people want to comment on this?
Yes, I would. This is Lewis Wolf in Washington. I have a little bit of concern, the idea of consolidating our boards. I know most, of course, about WPFW, our LSB here. And, you know, generally our members, I would say, without exception, are people that have long been associated with and committed to our station and keeping it alive. And the notion to me of consolidating or downsizing our board is, to me, a step backwards. I think we need to keep the commitment that people should have, unless they, you know, snuck onto the board without votes. I mean, I saw in one of your points, Mr. Crozer, only one person got one vote. Well, that's hard for me to fathom how that could have happened. But either way, I just am concerned with the idea of downsizing the board, at least our board. I can't speak about others. That's just this one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let me just kind of just answer maybe some of the questions. For WPFW, your station, we've had several elections where there weren't enough candidates even to fill all the seats. So anybody who wanted to run got elected automatically. So that's kind of an interesting issue. The point where as few as one person gets seated is because the way in the bylaws we fill vacancies are filled by people, the next runner-up in the last election. And so you go down the list for people that got fewer and fewer seats, fewer and fewer votes, And we've literally had people that would go down and they only got one vote. And it may have been a write-in from somebody else, sometimes even as a joke. I've seen this happen, you know, and then they get seated on the board. I mean, some of them are good people and so turn out to be good board members, but maybe that's, I'm just trying to explain how that worked. Okay, other comments from other people?
Can I add one more thing?
Okay, who's this?
This is Noni Session from
Noni, yeah, okay, go ahead. Okay.
I find it very difficult to make a statement about whether or not I think or really anyone thinks the board should be larger or smaller without exploring the nature of the composition of the board and how effective they are, right? Like, I get it's important to have an opinion about community involvement. That's the basis of my work. But as much as my work is based strictly on like a real authentic version of community participation, I can't come to a conclusion about whether or not the boards are larger or smaller without us reviewing, going through some kind of process to understand the nature of each board, right? If there are 18 people, are there 18 people with expertise? Are there 18 diverse individuals? Are we only able to seat 12 people? Are those people functional? Are larger boards, do they have more infighting? Or do smaller boards have more infighting? Like, these are questions that I think in order to propose fixes, we kind of have to contextualize the condition itself. And I feel like those are the kinds of review processes that are going to be necessary to make any conclusions about bylaws, about structure, so on.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, the size of the LSBs are supposed to be 24, and the size of the PNB is supposed to be 22. Okay, mm-hmm. If all the seats are filled. Other comments?
Grace.
Okay, Grace.
Robin Collier, who's a PNB director, he's an affiliate director, made an astute comment, and he said that most boards or many nonprofit boards are appointed boards. So the tendency is for lawyers and legal bodies and experts and boards, including the CPB people who suggest that we lower the size of the board or change our bylaws and restructure. That's what they're used to. And we're looking at a situation where appointed boards in media, other media outlets, especially public media, has led to the takeover by corporate members of those boards to a great degree, shifting the programming, I think, my opinion, in a rightward direction. So I don't know. I think that lots of people are not familiar with a democratic media animal. We are absolutely unique, but I don't think it's not the usual. They have elected boards. They are pretty strong. I mean, some of them. The Sierra Club, I would mention, is one of them. But I agree that we should do some research about this. I don't know if the, in quotes, experts or, in quotes, powers that be really would suggest what's healthy and right for Pacifica, because we are so unique in considering the concept of democratic boards and democratic participation.
This is Aki,
okay,
though.
Okay, go ahead, Aki.
Yeah, I sort of think that one of the reasons for, you know, trying to get the smaller board is the experience we have had with so much contention with the board we have right now. Like, I remember when I first came on the PNB in 2017, I was just aghast at how nothing would, because points of order just came left and right, and that's always spent our time on. So maybe another way of looking at it is that, okay, let's assume that you have a large board. How do you address when that kind of a disruption happens? Is there a way in which we can, you know, structure the meeting so that those kind of a disruptions could be, you know, deduced? I mean, that might be a solution too.
Let me throw out something else, not necessarily an answer, but Aki said, but under the disruptions have been a really big problem. It's gotten to the point where, you know, we've sometimes spent whole meetings just to get through the agenda approval, and because of all the objections, obstructions, and sometimes it takes, or the PNB, for those of you who don't listen to the meetings, they're all, the open sessions are streamed. They frequently take 3 to 4 hours. Now, they're better this year, but they're still long. And there's a lot of catching up to do, but and meeting several times per month. Now, Grace has some good points, though. But you know, if say only 20% or some small percentage of people actually help on a board, yeah, that is a problem. That's a reason for having bigger boards. But the other approach is, how do we get more people on the boards who actually want to do the work and help and not just talk? Because I think that's a better solution if we can make that work, so that we have everybody that's on there is expected to do something. They know that coming in. That would mean we don't have to recruit so many people just to fill the seats. And maybe we could get people that with, you know, the kind of expertise and board experience we need. Would that make sense? Is that possible?
Yeah, that's another option for sure.
This is Grace.
Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
You know, that might be possible. We might stipulate that the person in the FAIR campaign of rules and regulations commit to a certain amount of work or time put into things. In terms of picking people with specific expertise, you know, that's interesting. For instance, I'll give an example of a member of our board who is a CPA. So he was elected. It was assumed he would want to be the treasurer of our local board. And actually, that was the furthest thing from his mind. And accountants often hate the work that they do during the day and want to do nothing even vaguely related to their occupation on their off hours. So he did not become the treasurer, although he did was helpful. Another member of our board was a computer professional and also no desire to do any kind of computer assistance or help. So having people with certain expertise, especially if they're still working, retired people might be a little bit different. But it's like, for instance, it's not necessarily the case that the expertise is going to lead to their willingness to volunteer in utilizing that expertise. So, for instance, the fellow I was talking about was interested in programming. That's what he wanted to do instead of doing finance. And that's why, and he stated that in his candidate statement, I believe. But so anyway, to make assumptions that finding people with certain expertise, I'm giving you two examples, right, from my recent board experience at my station. I'm sure there are others.
You need to the spec?
Okay, thank you. Eileen, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say that, you know, that's unfortunate, Grace, that, you know, you have those people who didn't live up to what you'd hoped they would do. But I think that if we were to look for people with certain expertise, we would want to be open with them about it and make sure they knew that they would be expected to lend some of that expertise to the board. There was, you know, Maxie had the idea of what he called slotted boards, where, you know, at least a certain number of board members would be recruited for their particular expertise. And he also
was thinking of trying to energize the cabs more to get more community participation. I'm not sure exactly how it was all supposed to work, but, you know, I thought some of those ideas were really good and was looking forward to seeing how they could work out. I understand how this is a very thorny problem, considering how, you know, Pacifica's membership and democratic ideals and all that. But, you know, if we're running Pacifica, there are certain parts of it that maybe don't need to be so democratic. They need to function more like an office, a business, an organization. So that's something to be considered. I don't know enough about it to say more right now, but just things to consider. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Do we want to move on to a different problem? We don't have to decide everything tonight, but
yeah.
I have another one I'll throw unless somebody else wants to go first. Okay. One of the problems I listed was it's too easy for, quote, bad actors, unquote, to get on our boards. I think all of us have seen that on our LSBs. It's even happened on our PNB. And I'm talking people, by bad actors, I'm talking about people who cause repeated disruptions and who, you know, insult and harass other board members and things like that, and it makes it really hard to get business done. Some of the LSBs have probably had that worse than others. Anybody have suggestions for this?
Well, I mean, does the board have community agreements? I mean, because usually when you come together to sustain, I'm sorry, this is Noni Session from KPFA. When groups come together to sustain a process, particularly based in justice and equity, they begin with community agreements. And when members violate those community agreements, you would have made agreements that that merit removal from the process immediately after a certain number of agreed upon infractions. I mean, it seems to me when I'm sitting here watching that and fighting, it seems like it should be simple, but there are, I think, issues of effective facilitation, and there are issues of this may be a resistance to provocate when someone has already begun provocating. And kind of a resistance maybe based on timing or social niceties to stop and address very bad insulting behavior.
Okay, thanks. Who else wants to talk about this?
Well, this is Rick Potoff, KPFT.
Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
Okay, well, I think the only problem with that is, there is a problem, but I know the bylaws say that we can remove people, but I don't know. I think the way they put it is that it takes you know, something like two thirds of the LSB or a vote by the PNB to do it. So sometimes that's, you know, that's hard to do, you know, removing people.
Yep. This is Aki.
Yeah, Aki?
I think that Noni wasn't quite aware of kind of the dysfunction that actual PND meetings actually get into. Like the first meeting we had in 2017, he just listened to that particular meeting. You realize how sophisticated the dysfunction is in grinding everything down where after 3 hours nothing gets done, and how well that was carried out, and how it was so hard to, even though the bylaws have a provision for removing people, how hard it is to implement that. Mm-hmm. So Well, I mean, there are more practical solutions that you can, I mean, one of the ways that I can think of is that, like, for instance, minute approval and agenda approval should only take 5 minutes. And I think that we can make a bylaw that since all the minute comments and agenda things should be done before the meeting starts, so that once the meeting starts, then it should be just take only perform 5 minutes to approve it, they won't have the 30 minutes, 1 hour, you know, agenda approval. The second one is that people who hog the meeting, there's some way that one of the criteria for removing somebody is somebody just takes half of the meeting, that, you know, that might be one of the criteria for them being able to be removed out of the meeting, out of the, you know, board, let's say.
Okay.
Okay. I'll just say that one thing with Nani is that, you know, the bylaws have certain requirements for delegates or board members, and we can't really add additional requirements as much as it would be nice to do. And that's, it's been tried in the past, and people have contested and say it's not consistent with the bylaws. And so having a, you know, a community agreement sounds wonderful, and I know some groups do that, but we'd have to get a bylaws approval, amendment to do that, I guess, and then we'd have to figure out what the agreement would be. But, yeah, there's been some very disruptive people that have been almost impossible to remove from our boards because they have some friends. And as I think Rick pointed out, it takes a two-thirds vote. It takes a two-thirds of the whole board. So somebody's absent counts the same as a no vote. And it's just hard to get the votes, and plus 30 days notice, and that gives people opportunity to organize and explain why they're being picked on and this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And most people don't, especially for the PNB, for example, most people on the local station boards don't listen to the PNB meeting if they don't realize what's going on.
May I ask another question?
Yeah, go ahead, Noni.
Aki interestingly described it as a sophisticated dysfunction. Are we asserting or suggesting that it's a concerted effort to discourage the healthy functioning of the board? Or are we saying that it's kind of a human interaction issue where several quote-unquote bad actors have found their way on and it's difficult to take them off? Because I'm trying to figure out the distinction, because I feel like, again, I know that we don't want to spend all our time with consultants or anything, but a real sort of interactional analysis of a sophisticated dysfunctional process might shed a lot of light on things. So just trying to understand a little bit.
Okay. Anybody want to answer that or try to answer it?
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I'll stick my neck out, okay. I'll say this is the position of quite a few people that I've heard, is that people do work together to disrupt the board meetings. They support each other and won't allow people to be removed. We've had cases where people are harassing, openly slandering and lying about people. And then when those people are trying to say you can't do that, then they play the victim role and say, well, you're picking on me, and by their friend, and their friends back them up. And there are people that are saying that some of the people that have done the worst part of the disruption, it's like COINTELPRO. Not necessarily saying it is COINTELPRO, but it's like COINTELPRO. Mm-hmm. And I must say, it sure feels like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you wouldn't hardly believe it unless you've listened to some of the meetings that, like Aki was talking about. And you know, go back, okay, not this year, but previous years, and listen to some of them.
2017, you say?
That's when I was
on the PNB. 16, 16 is probably even worse, yeah, on the PNB.
Okay.
Okay. Want to move on to a different problem, or anybody else want to say something about this? I'm not keeping track of the time. I should have had timekeeper. Are we taking too long?
Well, yeah, but we use 30 minutes. I I'm hit time is 30 minutes
okay.
when this is up.
Well, we can move on if you want, but I encourage all of you to send other, just email them to me if you want, and I can put them on that Google Docs, or if somebody else to help me with that, I can give you access, editing access, but we can add problems and also possible fixes. Some of you, some people have sent me some possible fixes. I just didn't put those up yet because we might want to talk about the problems first. But
may I get on the stack? This is Lewis Wolf.
Okay, Lewis, yeah, go ahead.
I think the elephant in the room on your list here, and it's a very important list, each of the items, but the elephant in the room is the $3.2 million loan and how we're going to be able to repay that back. And I'm deeply concerned about that. Here at PFW, we haven't even started on this. And, you know, in terms of setting up a closed, you know, a savings fund or something that's segregated that nobody can touch or anything like that. And it's just keep putting it off. And I don't know about anyone else, but if we don't find a solution for this, we're going to be, come the springtime or even before, we're going to be up a creek without a paddle. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Lewis. Other people want to comment? Let me just say real briefly, without addressing the loan specifically, though, the loan is partly a result of deficits that have developed over years, and that's why it kind of relates to the boards, because the boards do have ultimate responsibility for maintaining financial stability and making sure we can pay our bills and things like that. But we've had deficits of varying amounts probably every year for maybe 15 years, at least 12 years. And that's how we get to the point where we have had to get this big loan because we didn't have the cash to pay off another financial obligation. Okay, that's the relationship to governance. Other people want to say things about this?
Noni Session, I have a question.
Yeah, okay, Noni.
Does anyone feel that that the governance committee can make an impact on this condition right now? Like, are there ideas on how we could transform some of this kind of crunch we're in right now?
Well, this is Bill. I'll just say, in terms of trying to fix things, we need people, enough people on the board that realize that we have to ensure that we don't have deficits, that we bring in, and we have to have surpluses for a while, probably for a number of years, to repay debt. And I think that's been neglected by a lot of people on the local and national boards for years. Not everybody, but a lot of people. It just hasn't been a priority.
Eileen, to the stack?
Yeah. Eileen?
I think, you know, a lot of some of the items on here are just we've lost membership and we haven't raised enough money. And, you know, it's been a problem for a while, plus negligent financial management. But that's what we're hoping. You know, that's what an ED is supposed to do, a lot of that. And we've got this interim guy coming on pretty soon. So, you know, we need new ideas. We need to figure out how to raise more money. I'm not sure we can figure out how to spend any less. I don't know if the other stations are like WPFW, but we're pretty much cut down to the bone. You know, if we spent less, that would mean even fewer staff, I guess. And we don't have enough staff to get the work done. And that's kind of a vicious circle right there, because if we had a little more, if we had two more people, we might have somebody who could actually do some fundraising and or somebody who could work more closely with the GM to better organize things, come up with ideas for marketing, come up with new fundraising ideas, whatever, you know. But so a lot of this is just linked to the reality of our situation and, you know, what is the root cause of the, our drop in listenership. What is the root cause of continuing deficits? You know, that's what we need to figure out how to fix, if it's possible.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that's something the governance committee itself can really take up.
Okay, thank you. And I'll just say, church planning committee has been talking about this some. We don't have all the answers yet, but
yeah.
Other people want to talk about this? Because I agree it's a very serious problem. I'll just throw something else out. I mean, my personal feeling is that the financial problems really impact our mission. And just because we're alive and on the air doesn't mean we're accomplishing our mission. And as Eileen just said, we've had drops of membership at every station over the last 15 years or so. And, you know, public radio all over the country is having trouble with this. You know, more people are listening online to things and stuff like that. But we have, there's also some opportunities. It's a lot easier now than it used to be to, you know, reach people digitally. But you have to work at it. And I think there's a lot of opportunities we need to take advantage of. And there's some threats to us because of the drop in listenership, but there's also opportunities, and we need to figure out how to take advantage of those. Okay, anybody else want to comment on this problem?
Yeah, this is Aki.
Yeah, Aki.
I mean, well, one of the things that, I mean, talking about Irene's concern about losing listenership and all that, is that, I mean, we are a unique entity in a very critical time, and the reason why that it's not out there is that because our listenership has dropped so much. But on the other hand, we can get people to know, you know, what we are all about, and I think that a lot of the outreach or all the getting the listenership to increase could be done, I think, mainly because of the fact that there's no other source of, well, there are a lot of things on the internet, but on the radio, we can reach out to all the people who are suffering, let's say, the 90, you know, all the young people, student debt, who couldn't get jobs, all that. They are the ones that we should be reaching out to, and I think we can recruit them to, you know, listen to our station.
Yes, I agree very much. Other people? Young people are the future. Got to reach them.
You know, one challenge that we have is also that
this is Michael Adler,
you know, because we haven't done audits, because we have our financials are challenged. If you look at Charity Navigator, where people often look before they make a donation, Pacifica does not fare well. And, you know, I think, you know, I know some wealthy individuals that I would go to if we were in better shape and they could see that you know, we have a guaranteed future and so on. But I think, you know, it's sort of a little bit of a chicken and egg. We need to be in a position where we can ask for donations from some of these people to get, you know, multi-hundred-thousand-dollar type donations.
Right. Okay. Let me just cheer you up a little bit, because it's all not all doom and gloom. You know, some things have been improving, and we have a ways to go, but just for example, you know, we got over a $500,000 request that came through somebody, a WBI supporter, and it's being mostly allocated to debt or other financial obligations and not towards current operating expenses. And a good part of it's going to this loan, the big loan. And so, you know, I think there's a commitment on the PNB to do as much of that as possible, too, while we're also looking for additional sources of revenue and getting new listeners. We get new listeners, like you're just saying, we'll get more donors and we'll get more money. But we just need to do it in a more organized fashion. Okay, well, I think we've been talking about this for quite a while. So, okay, if we move on to the next thing?
Yes.
Okay, next is number 9, setup of email list and maybe an online group for file sharing. Now, this is kind of separate, maybe partially related to what we were talking about earlier for Pacifica documents as a whole, but this just for this committee, I think Aki had said he might check into this. Do you want to have anything you want to say, Aki?
Sure. I set up a Google group. I don't know if that's the best way to do it, but the initial, you know, invitation, 6 people responded. So the other 8 people hasn't responded yet. It could be a mechanism by which we can start to put up all these ideas that we have and, you know, go back and forth in that group. So if you'd like to participate, you know, just respond to the invitation. It was the invitation will be sent earlier today, so if anybody can sign on, then we can start talking on that Google group.
It was sent out again this morning? Because I didn't see it.
Okay. Well, I had to go back and check because 6 people responded. You know, me, Irene Rosen, Grace Allen, Nomi Sessions, Michael Adler. Let's see. Anyway,
so who will the invitation come from? Google or you or what do we look for in our email?
It just says that invitation to join Google group pnb.com. And you will come
from
the Google
from, group. From Google.
Am I correct that, though, that there was nothing up there? You know, when I went there, I didn't see anything to look at, even though I joined the group.
Yeah, there's nothing there posted, unless people start posting it. It's basically a listserv where people, you know, send emails to each other. It's like a discussion group. So you send, you know, whatever you have to the group, and everybody in the group will receive what you send out.
Is it from, because I still can't find it, is it groups.google.com? Should we search for that and our from? It was a from?
Well, the group itself is called PNB GOV. I mean, PNB GOV COM is the name of the group.
I'm just trying to figure out what to search for. Would that be in the from field or the subject name?
Well, I'll just follow through. I'll just follow through with each one of you and make sure that you get something.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that.
If you search for, I think PNBGOVCOM, you'll find it. It says invitation to join PNBGOVCOM. It was
in the subject line?
Sunday. Yeah, in the subject line. And it's from PNBGOVCOM. That's the mnemonic given to the email address. Mm-hmm. It was sent Sunday at 12:32 p.m. 7:21 at 12:32 p.m.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Lockie. Appreciate that.
And then, you know, if you want to set up another one, if it's not working, we can always, you know, go to another. But anyway, to start to start communicating with each other is the way out of that.
Yeah, if we can help us everybody get on, that's good. And just for those of you who don't know, because I'm in several about Google groups, and you can link, if you use a different, it helps if you have a Gmail address, but I don't think it's essential. But if you have another email address you use most of the time, you can link it within Google to your whatever Gmail address you have, and that might make it easier. If you have questions, Akira, I can probably help you with that. Okay. Moving on, let's see, we have new business. And one thing I forgot about, Donald Goldmacher had requested an excused absence because he's on the program committee call this evening also. Is there any objections to excusing him?
Yep.
Okay. So hearing none, then Donald Gomecker is excused. All right, and you can put that in the minutes. Let's see, is there any new business anybody wants to talk about?
Well, I just have a question. I understand that the Maxi is no longer the ED. What happened with that?
Maxi resigned. We have a new ED that's already been hired. He's starting very soon. Grace, are you still on the call? There's a press release you'll probably all see, I think, tomorrow about the new ED, interim ED. So we wish Maxie well, but we'll have a new ED. Grace has been serving in the interim. We appreciate that. Anybody else on the PMB want to say anything?
Was there a reason he resigned, or?
We can't say any more. And, you know, in personnel issues, you're never going to hear more. So, Maxie wants to say this, he can. He can say what he wants to, I guess. But, you know. We can't talk about personnel issues. But we do wish him well, and he resigned. Okay. Is there any other new business? I guess we can review action items. I always like to do that near the end of meetings to help us remember who volunteered to do what. Sometimes I forget. Do you have that, Aki? I forgot to ask you to make notes of that. But I guess one thing, just working backwards, Aki said he would get with the people who are not already didn't accept the invitation to the Google group to help us find that. And then we also have the working group to work on the organization of files and have access to them. Let's see, who was going to be on that?
Five people. I got the name. There was Irene, Bill, me, Mike Adra, and Otis.
Okay. And then I believe Eileen was going to convene that and help us find a date and time to meet by phone. Okay. Are there any other action items? Oh, for everybody, send any of the other suggestions on bylaws amendments or problems related to the bylaws to me, and I'll put them on that document, that online document.
Great.
And if anybody's listening online, you want to send them, you're very welcome to do it. You don't have to be on this committee. And then we can talk about that again next time.
Okay.
Next agenda item is confirm the next meeting date and time. So is the fourth meeting of the month, fourth Wednesday of the month still okay with everybody?
August 28th.
Yeah, I'll see that. I need to post that. Okay. And this time is good, I hope. It's sort of a standard meeting time for most of our committees. So it's counter compromises between the East Coast and West Coast convenience.
Right.
So, hope that's okay. Is 2 hours too long? Should we try to make it an hour and a half? Looks like we're going to make this one in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
This August 28th may be a challenge for me only this one time, but I think you guys should go ahead and hold it and keep it consistent, personally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody try to review or reserve that fourth Wednesday at this time. And if you're not home, you can always call in from somewhere else. It helps to be by computer in case we need to send each other any files, but it's not essential.
Yes, it's my resident organizing meeting, which I made sure to schedule on the third Wednesday of every month, but this particular August, our residents could not do that Wednesday. So, yeah. That's the challenge there.
Okay. Well, sorry. Well, maybe you can come attend part of the meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so there's no objections. We'll continue with that. And I'll go ahead and post the fourth Wednesday of each month for the rest of the year if that's good for everybody.
Good.
Maybe not December. I don't know when the fourth Wednesday will be. Let me look. Let's see, that will be Christmas Day.
No.
Okay, well, December 25th. So, maybe I just won't schedule that. When we get to November, we can decide.
Okay.
And by the way, the fourth Wednesday of November is the day before Thanksgiving, so maybe that's not so good either. So shall we?
Okay. Looking at both as the next meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just I'll go ahead and schedule them through October. Okay. Anything else, anyone?
It will be the same call-in number and code again?
Yes. Yeah, you can keep that.
Thank you.
Did all of you get an automatic reminder from KPFTX?
Sure,
yeah. Yeah, I got one.
If you did not, let me know, and I'll let Otis know, because we're going to have your wrong email address or something in the system. And that should have the call-in number and code. Oh, no, it doesn't do it from Maestro, does it? Oh, no, this is LoopUp. We have two different conferencing services. LoopUp, everybody has the same access code for a particular committee. Okay. All right. Well, if there's no other business, I guess we'll I'll be glad to hear a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Okay, Rick moves we adjourn. Any objections? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you all. See you next month.
Thank you, Bill.
Send in those emails and with your suggestions.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.